next Sunday, don't miss the world premiere of Almost Human. In the year 2046, Detective John Kennex was ambushed and left for dead. Now, as he returns to the Force, it will take a machine.
I'm Dory.
Are you a robot?
Yes, I am.
I'm not driving with one of those things.
To bring him back to life.
I can't say that I was born, but I was made to feel.
Fantastic. I get the synthetic with the bleeding heart.
Almost Human, premiering Sunday on Fox.
Hi, folks. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I'm going to tell you a true story about how Jerry Seinfeld and I once made Yakov Smirnoff cry. We thought we were going to make him laugh, but it didn't happen right away. Listen to us for free through iTunes, and we'll see you here.
Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours. Theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get it on mandate. Get it on. Love me some classical music, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, just doing a little...
Well,
conducting of this.
They say it makes you smarter.
Huh?
And I'm down with that. But here's the problem with that statement. If there is a music that makes you smarter, then there must be a music that makes you dumb.
Interesting.
If music can have an effect.
Why not?
Then it has to have a negative effect as well. I believe there is music that makes you dumb.
Do you have any idea which music that might be?
Ranchero music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've been on many a fucking job site with just that fucking, sounds like someone's backed over a fucking accordion and drum kit and somebody's blowing compressed air into a fucking tuba and I literally can't think.
Yeah.
Like I've had it happen where it's just, I can't form a thought with this going on.
Yeah.
In the background.
Yeah. I've noticed that about you. You get very distracted by Ranchero.
I just can't fucking thought. And I realize just fucking turn it down. But I do believe that if you replaced it with some classical, the IQ would go up on the job site.
Could be.
That's me.
It's possible.
That's me. I also think the super repetitive, thumping sort of electronic music that has this is utterly soulless and sort of the opposite of music.
Yeah.
No, this is Rihanna.
Oh, yeah. You like Rihanna?
No. This is my daughter. She's when she gets to the chorus here. Listen. By the way, if a 6-year-old loves your music, you should kill yourself. The day a fucking 6-year-old comes up to me and goes, "Hey, I really like where you're at comedically," I'll fucking jump off a bridge. Someone really has to impress that upon these idiots. You understand? My kids love your music? Right. You understand they're 6? Right.
Do you like Gaga?
I don't. Just the repetitive electronic look.
The beat.
Here's the thing. Music to me, it's not an age thing. It's a soul thing. I want to hear an instrument.
Yeah.
That's why I listen to music. If I want to hear sort of electronic, staticky vibration that's repetitive, I'll just tune to somewhere in between an AM station that I'm not quite getting a frequency on and listen to that. You know what I mean? Or yeah. I'll stand next to a fucking bug zapper. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Like, I want to hear the instruments. I want to hear the voice. And as far as the repetition goes, yeah, there are parts of that that are good in a song, but not the endless repetition with the fucking grind. It's making people fucking dumb. What?
You can't get over it. You've officially become Beelzebub.
I can't. I don't care.
You've officially become five. You've got to just grow a long white beard. It's got to happen.
I thought Beelzebub was the devil.
Well, or whatever. Father Time. What would that be? Methuselah.
All right.
You become Methuselah.
Look.
Oh, my God. Officially.
No.
I thought a couple of times ago I thought it was happening, and now it's official.
It's shit.
Look at your outfit. It's a bad picture. This has got to be put on the website.
It's shit music.
You are wearing what looks like boxers, long boxers.
These are shorts.
With plaid, God knows what kind of plaid that is. That is no Scottish clan ever proudly wore that plaid.
Trust me.
Trust me. We have the female tennis socks on with the little balls on the back by your heel.
The shoes were given to me.
The socks, not the shoes. The shoes are they're good. And then you have some kind of like, what's that T-shirt company?
I don't know. You give me a free T-shirt, I wear it. That's my policy.
All right, anyway, so you become Father Time. It's happened. Mm-hmm. Now. It's happened. And this is all part of that. As you get older, things irritate you.
Listen.
And by the way, what's wrong with six-year-olds liking music? It's extra super hip.
No. If six-year-olds like your music, you're a fucking hack.
You're not a musical. You're not a musical.
No, they. It's if 6-year-olds like your dessert, you're not a good pastry chef.
Okay, I get it. It's not discerning. It's not a discerning.
Their palate isn't refined.
Yeah, not a discerning palate.
It's
not a refined piece of music.
No, it's
commercial.
And repetitive.
Yeah.
And has little weird hooks that hook 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
And or dumb people.
Right.
I've said this a million times. It's not like I've said it many times. 6-year-olds are just dumb little people.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they get smarter. If you have a 6-year-old and a 26-year-old and they both love the same song, the 26-year-old is dumb.
Yeah.
The 6-year-old is just a 6-year-old who will hopefully grow out of this.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So if you like that music, you're fucking dumb. That's how it works.
Speaking of the workplace, I swear to God, I come in here, I urinate in that women's bathroom before we start our shows every time I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, a certain time of day. It's pretty much the same time of day every week. Mm-hmm. And I swear to Christ, there's semen floating around in the bottom of that toilet every time. I swear.
He looks right at me.
I swear. Well, he looked guilty. You look guilty when I started saying it.
Listen,
you looked a little weird at me. It scared me the way you looked at me, frankly, as I started telling the story.
It's mathematically impossible that these guys don't beat off
somebody.
On
right?
The clock.
They hear all the time.
Well, first off, if these guys are beaten off 3-4 times a day and they're here for 11 hours, it's mathematically impossible.
Well, somebody has a morning session every morning.
into the toilet.
The women's bathroom. The women's toilet, mind you, because I think they think they're pulling one over on somebody.
Well, all right, hold on a second. First off, if you have a session into the toilet that way, and I looked at Chris because he's closest to the toilet.
He is, and he had a weird look on his face.
And a weird look on his face.
And second off, you're supposed to flush. You don't let that thing hang around.
I'm sorry. How is something bathroom related not immediately going to Matt?
Dang, that's why I was laughing. I thought this was going to be a Matt story.
He's here the longest. He's here. By the way, he's here first. Yeah, he's here early.
Except for Rob.
Rob's
not an animal.
But I'm telling every damn time I look down, I go, oh.
Now, what do you see? You see a slick?
No, it's something clinging to
the side?
No, it's deep. It's in, but like not all the way at the bottom. And it's got an organic kind of like snot.
Movement. It's got a mucousy movement to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clinging.
No, it clings together, but it's settled. It's settled.
But somebody would have flushed the toilet.
You would have thought, but I don't think so.
It's the work of an amateur.
Yeah.
This is the work of somebody who's distracted.
This is not the work of somebody who works for Adam Carolla.
No, they would have flushed.
Gary.
I'm sure.
Not this Gary. Other Gary.
Listen, I'm sure.
Somebody works at the other site.
I'm sure people beat off. I don't judge. My thing is.
But that's my point is why not flush the toilet?
Oh, there's no way they didn't flush the toilet. There's no way.
Well, what the fuck is down there? Something's down there. Somebody didn't flush the toilet. And it's not stool.
You, instead of flushing it, should take a picture next
take
time.
Take a sample. I'll take a sample. I'll go test
well,
it.
Well, I can tell you. Listen.
I'm going to go find out what that is.
Well, let me tell you.
Dr. Drew's semen detective.
let me tell you this. Drew, is that a new dog? I don't recognize it. Oh, yes. Semen sniffing dog.
My dog could do anything. I'm going to bring him over.
All right. Can I tell you a couple things? First off, I've had this happen to me, and you tell me how this works, because I really want to know. I had it happen to me last week where I had a nice solid bowel movement, flushed a fucking toilet, and a chunk that looked like a miniature peeled carrot about that size, or maybe half a smoked cigar or something, just sort of worked its way back in and popped yep. to the surface. And yep. I mean, to the surface, like in Jaws, when the shark would go under with the barrel, and then they'd have that shot, that long shot where the boat was out in the background.
Yeah, and then the barrel.
And the barrel would just pop up. Like, it just popped up, and I was like, fuck that. And I flushed the toilet again, and it, like, went down and came and like popped
wow,
again, and
super,
I was like,
this is some sort of.
Did I eat a styrofoam cooler for fucking dinner? Like, I had a fucking steak and some vegetables. Like, why is this thing so fucking buoyant?
It's fat content.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Did you eat a lot of? Did you have fried food that night or something?
I'm not big into
so that's,
that.
That's
but
that's the demon. Stool.
That's what creates the buoyant.
Yeah. Fat.
Stool. Fat. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so back to I'm trying to think what I did, but anyway,
how you got rid of it?
Oh no, I was getting close.
You have those nets like you use for goldfish and pull it out.
I was getting close to that. The third flush, I think it finally just it lost its battle. Mm. It just become a waterlogged. But what I'm saying is there's plenty of things that have been put in the toilet.
Yes,
where the flush does not do the trick.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is
yeah.
I do not agree with your premise that somebody beat off in the toilet and did not flush.
Okay, so you're saying
I do agree with your premise that somebody beat off on the job site in my home.
It's mathematically impossible that they didn't. We've decided.
Okay.
To be fair, it's mathematically impossible that more than one of these dudes haven't done it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that, but I say the toilet was flushed. The toilet can leave things behind.
There is one way to settle this.
How do you do that?
You smelling hands?
No, Chris can go beat off on the thing and flush it and see if it goes down.
But he's already in his refractory period from beating off this morning.
We'll find one of the guys that hasn't. These guys are young. They refill real fast.
Listen, I'm saying... we've all had the semen cling.
Somewhere.
Somewhere where it's like, oh, come on now. I've had.
Well, maybe that's how it happened. Maybe he put it on the side and it stayed long enough circulating that it then
settled.
Well,
what I'm saying is I hope we've all done the sink jack for Christ's sake. I've done the sink jack where it's like, oh, come on, I'm running the water and the shit ain't moving. It's
my
there.
My contact lens fell in there.
Now, Chris, he's not tall enough for the sink jack, but he's built for the bowl jack.
There you go.
So that's why I blame him for the bowl jack.
Maybe you should
sink
invent
bomb,
an
you
actual
to
jack to help with the sink jack.
I'm
you
saying,
lift these guys up with the jack for the sink jack.
All right, here's what I'm saying, Drew.
Huh?
You do the sink jack, right?
With the jack.
Just quiet. Yeah. You take a fucking cup of water and you dump it into that sink.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you got it.
That stuff is...
That doesn't mean it's down the road.
No, that is that stuff has staying power. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's
grabby.
That's
so the point is this. It's clingy. That person could have beat off.
Yeah.
That person could have flushed the toilet.
Yeah.
And you could have been seeing is what you saw. Yeah. Now, yeah. Drew...
I had that conversation to myself, too. I did think that was a possibility as well.
Drew's a physician, yeah. And Drew knows, you know, a snot rocket from some semen, mm-hmm. from just, maybe a little coffee cream or something that got dumped in there. Like, you know
and
your way around
by the
this
way,
stuff.
Probably the fourth or fifth time I've seen this.
Oh, really?
Yes. I just remembered to write it down and bring it up to you. This is not today's singular episode. It's mm-hmm. I've seen it. Gary suddenly looks very guilty now.
Uh-huh.
Really? You've seen it four times?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Uh-huh.
I thought I flushed that.
I think we've established that given my height, I would be a sink culprit.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Touché.
You got here before me today.
That's what he wants you to think.
Yeah.
Right. It's my point.
It's just what you'd do if you were, if you were a jacker. You had a problem with this. You'd make sure that the guy got there before him. All right. Look. Drew.
If you're a jacker.
I'm with you. And I see, I think there's a version where you can flush a toilet two times and still have something.
Fine. I'm up for that. I have no
problem
with that.
So when you're looking down.
I was not concerned with whether said gentleman had flushed the toilet.
Right. You're looking down.
My monocle fell out.
Your monocle fell out.
Just with the sight of the semen.
What are you looking at when you're looking at the water?
I'm peeing into the toilet. And right. I notice as the fluid of the urine disturbs the sanctity of said still water, something at the bottom begins moving too of an organic quality. See?
Uh-huh.
And then I look more and I aim towards it, and lo and behold, lo and behold, now you can see there's a mass stuck together of amoeboid-like material.
That is clung to the bottom of the toilet.
It's not, you know, there's, what is the part called in the bottom? The catch or something? Was
yeah,
that?
Well.
It's just floating above that, just like right sort of settled, but not all the way in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's organic material, guys.
Okay.
All right. Chris says yes.
Yeah.
He's been experimenting.
Now, Drew, why don't you pee in the urinal like the other dudes?
It doesn't flush, right?
No, it works.
Does it work now? I got tired of it not flushing. I started worrying about that.
All right.
And the ultimate reason is, how many times do you follow me into the fucking bathroom talking? Most of the times I go in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the closest bathroom, so I'm still trying to listen to you. I leave the door open. So.
Okay. Understood.
Do you understand? He follows me into the bathroom talking while I pee. Okay.
Well, I have a lot of conversations slash meetings with Matt where, he's in a way.
Beating off in there?
Yeah.
I want you to think about that next time. I want you to think about it.
All right. You want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Let's talk to Chris. Well, there's Chris, and then there's let's go to line five. Talk to Peter, because calling from New York.
All right.
Peter?
Hey, Span.
What's going on, man?
Peter.
I actually have more of a question for Drew. I've got a grandfather who's been dealing with some pretty bad dementia for the past couple of years, and it's been really tough on my mom, and I was just wondering if either you had any experience with this or any advice on the best way to kind of help my mom through it, just because it's been really difficult on her.
All right. All the time. It's a common thing, and dealing with it for years and years and years. Who is the primary caretaker of grandfather?
A nursing home.
So he's in a nursing home. He's getting adequate care, and your mom just having trouble seeing him deteriorate like this?
Exactly, and she's going over there very frequently to visit him, and every time she comes back, she's like just totally broken up about it, and she just can't stand to watch it anymore.
Yeah, why does she take a break? Because he doesn't know. That's the part
he won't know she's taking a break.
Right. That's the part you've got to sort of get through to her, is that he really doesn't know, probably, if it's as bad as you say, whether she's there or not. Now, she needs to do what she needs to do to be a good daughter. But she doesn't
that's what she feels.
But she doesn't need to torture herself with this. The difficult – what I always tell family around a dementia patient is we don't want more patients. This guy's the patient. Get him adequate care, and then do you do what you need to do to take care of yourself and – be adequately available for your father or whoever, but not make yourself sick. You're not obliged to make yourself sick. And if you have such overwhelming grief at the stress of seeing somebody with illness, then you need your own therapist if she can get that. Or a support group. That's the other thing. A support groups are very
helpful.
Well, Drew,
I think this is true for people. You know, you say, well, the guy's schizophrenic and, he ran into the shopping mall with a machete. Yeah. And someone goes, why'd he do that?
Yeah, I know.
And you go, he's schizophrenic. And you go, yeah, but he ran into a shopping mall with a machete. Yeah, he's schizophrenic.
Yeah, he thought he was Tarzan or something.
He shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
Why did he do that? And you go, he's schizophrenic. And then they go, I would never do that. And you're like, yeah, you're not schizophrenic.
I know.
And they go, yeah, but... I know he's schizophrenic, but you don't go into a shopping mall where there are children with a machete. And you go like, yeah, I know, but the guy has a mental illness. And so there's a part of us.
Yeah.
We understand very clearly the guy's a veteran, stepped on a landmine, got his leg amputated. The mental part, there's a part of us that can't get out of our head?
I think
quiet.
I think quiet.
So when you go, well, this guy's got dementia, and you go, yeah, but I got to visit him because he's gonna. And you go, no, he doesn't know because he has dementia. And you go, there's a part that can't get outside of. Well, I would know.
Yeah.
If somebody wasn't
right.
coming around, and
that's
right. I wouldn't go into a shopping mall with a machete.
That's right.
And that you can't, no matter what you say, it's hard to get past that
yes.
part.
So it is hard to get past that part, that because you can't imagine what it would be like, you know, with a deteriorated brain, and legitimately so. So I you heard me say to that guy, which is you need to do what you need to do to be for yourself a good spouse, a good daughter, whatever mm-hmm. that means, but you don't have to do it for him.
Uh-huh. For
but anyway, let me just say, though, the thing I think that we have most difficulty with in this country is illnesses of our brain that affect our free will.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole country is founded on the idea of you're free to determine. Blah, blah, blah. There are things that can fuck your free will up, and you should lose that freedom in that case because it's for your own good. And we can't do that. We just won't do it.
Meaning these disturbed people that are getting guns and going into school campuses and things like that.
Easy to identify. And I wish we exposed more people to that kind of mental illness. And the way I explain to people, when they see it, it's like just imagine his brain's having a seizure. It's like
right.
imagine it as a seizure, like a waking, walking seizure.
Mm-hmm.
Does not know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't making sense.
Mm-hmm.
What he's thinking is completely from outer space, often thinking about outer space, strangely enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Well, you know, I have a public service announced, you know, campaign that I would like to launch as soon as we're done with the boating safety stuff and the click it or ticket stuff. As soon as we're done with click it or ticket, then I want to talk about this mental illness business. Because it's third. Well, there's breast cancer awareness. There's that too. And then once everyone's aware of breast cancer and click it or ticket and boating safety, then I want to talk about this. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Done.
Encore, baby. By the way, you want to be a responsible adult. Encore Insurance Services. They can get you life insurance. They can do it at a very reasonable price. One of our guys here, Kit. I don't think he's been in the bathroom for a while. He's off. He's not on my list. Kit, healthy, 37-year-old, non-smoker, got a 20-year, $500,000 policy for less than $30 a month. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your loved ones. You owe it to yourself. 866-347-5748. You can go online. You can go to smartterm.com. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found on their website, smartterm.com, but give them a buzz and tell them you heard it here. 866-347-5748. Encore, baby. All right, some phone calls there.
Yeah, yeah.
Drewski.
Well, let's go line 4. I want to hear that.
Line 4. All right. Chris.
Hey, man. How's it going?
21. What's going on?
My friends and I are avid Windy City Heat fans, podcast, movie, all that stuff. What are the odds that we see more from Perry in the future? Is it zero? Is that done?
And there was a rumor that he was dead or something. Remember that?
No.
Oh,
but,
Perry. I was thinking Refrigerator. No. You think Perry?
Well, Refrigerator Perry was in Windy City Heat.
Yeah.
For those of you who have not experienced Windy City Heat, you should treat yourself to a copy of Windy City Heat. It is all true. It is star-studded. And it's one of the... I've seen that movie in the theater, in a large theater, and I don't believe that I've seen a movie that had as many out loud laughs.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not here to say this is the funniest movie ever created. I enjoyed, Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks, probably more than I enjoyed Windy City Heat. On the other hand, if you showed a screening of Defending Your Life... or any Woody Allen movie, and he showed a screening of Windy City Heat, there would be more out loud laughs at Windy City Heat. And that, I mean, that movie was just fucking flat out funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually kind of 0-for-2 in the movie department, because I've done two movies that are considered incredibly funny that just kind of just went away. Like never, it doesn't get repeated on cable. The Hammer never shows up on cable. Windy City Heat never shows up anywhere. Like, they just, I don't know why we need to watch Adam Sandler piece of shit du jour. Or no, forget Adam Sandler. I'm being way too kind. literally Rob Schneider piece of shit du jour, like just popping up. You know, why the fuck do we need to see Joe Dirt or whatever, just David Spade piece of shit? I don't, I mean, and it gets deep. Like, it's like Grandma's Boy or stuff like that, where the guys who work with Sandler, who are horrible, do their own horrible movie, and that thing just goes in repetition, repetition, repetition on cable. I don't know why Windy City never pops up. Well, I do know it got shit on and shut down by Comedy Central. Comedy Central made it. Yeah. There were a bunch of chicks who ran the place, and they didn't like it.
No, because I talked to one of them.
Please.
Do you want to know the reason?
Yes.
The reason was that Perry had had a severe head injury.
Right.
And he was clearly – the reason you were able to dupe him and he couldn't read the social cues is because of his – he had literally a classic right frontal lobe injury, almost like Phileas Cage did. It's a sort of a classic guy that had a bolt go through his head. Yeah,
really.
And he ends up very much like Perry, just sort of aggressive, but not understanding social cues and things. And they were concerned with the Americans with Disability Act.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, that's what they said. I would be.
Listen, no,
they're making fun of a guy with a brain injury.
There are chicks. First off, this guy with a brain injury, you know, drives a car, has a job, does stand up. And
no, but you're making fun of where his injury is. Now, he doesn't – he may be able – here's what they didn't say. He may be willing to sign off on it.
He got paid.
No, but I also think he would sign off on this. He thought it was funny too.
By the way, you're describing a guy who is not this guy. And I agree. He did. I think he got into a car accident or something.
Yep.
But I don't think that – there's plenty of people like him – that never got into a car accident.
But the degree to which he sort of couldn't pick up on things, that's organic. That's organic.
I feel like I've dealt with a lot of those people in my life.
No, you have. I understand that there's
did not get into a car accident. Look, pure and simple, they thought it was mean-spirited, and they didn't like the tone of it. And it's not a chick thing. It's a dude thing. And the chicks were running the network, and they didn't want anything to do with it. And it got buried. I know they aired it once.
They told me it was the legal part, because I brought it up. And they were like, legally couldn't do it.
Yeah.
We'd love to. It was so funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's what they say, so you don't
wish they would go away. You had a big anniversary screening. I couldn't make that. How was that?
I was out of town, too. I'm sure it was great, because everyone loves that fucking movie. Yeah. So for those of you who have not seen Windy City Heat, please
go out
and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It is very funny. Yes, Chris.
Phenomenal movie. We've got it on DVD. So I've also seen The Hammer many a time. So,
But you didn't answer the question, which is a good question. Would you bring Perry back, do something?
I don't.
Bring him in here?
I don't.
Bring him in. Let's do a podcast with him.
No.
Why?
I don't like the guy.
Well, so what? Bring him in. Let's thump on him.
I don't want to thump on him. He had a brain injury, Drew.
I mean, let's see what the
police. How dare you? Americans with disabilities. No, listen. I think this was lightning that was captured in a bottle, and then Comedy Central threw it in the fucking river. That's basically what I think happened. But you know, maybe there's more down the road. I don't know. I'm not, you know, for me, I'm not into the sequels that much of life. Mm-hmm. I just want the next sort of project to come along and work on. I think that's one of the things that makes our business interesting is, you know, people do the, when are you guys going to get together and reunite and do the Man Show, you know? Well, first off, Jimmy's busy. But secondly, I can tell you that I saw Jimmy last night, actually. Jimmy and I have never had a conversation about redoing The Man Show or Crank Yankers or any other thing we've ever worked on.
Right.
Ever.
Right, because it had its life, and there you go.
Yeah, we've had a million creative conversations. Yeah. None of them have involved, we should go back and do Man Show, the fill-in-the-blank, or Crank Yankers, fill-in-the-blank. It's never come up. And this is why... I don't know who I was yelling at about this, but this is why I was making fun of these. Basically, you become a hack when you sit around and you go, how am I going to re-release this song, or how am I going to, you know, it's my Sid and Marty Krofft thing. You know, oh, those guys are geniuses. Oh, yeah. It's like I said when we were, I was walking with the late, great Alan Kirshenbaum through the back lot of CBS. And we're just walking. And he said, you know, is in that office right there? And I said, who? And he said, I think it was Sid Croft. One of them's still alive, you know. And I, he said, I know him. You want to meet him? And I said, no. And he said, why don't you want to meet him? He's a legend. I said, he's a fucking hack. Those guys made shit. Far Out Space Nuts and Sigmund and the Sea Monster and Land of the Lost. Fucking creative bankrupt hacks, you know. And he said, well, you know, say what you will, but the guy's 91 and he's still in his office and he's still coming to work every day. And I said, what's he working on? He's trying to get Far Out Space Nuts licensed in fucking Asia. He's trying to get Land of Lost made into a movie with Will Ferrell. Dana Gould told me they were actually working on Sigmund and the Sea Monster. I said, that's not working. That's fucking building a time machine and jacking off in a different era in my fucking toilet. Strange, on
what,
to you.
That's what Chris was doing this morning.
Yes, listen. I saw Sigmund and the Sea Monster. That was 1973. It was a piece of shit. I hated it when I was 8. You're fucking looking at, I guarantee, all they're doing is to try to fucking squeeze another nickel out of a piece of shit idea they had 100 years ago. That's not creative. Thank you.
You brought up Jimmy. I was just thinking about the shitstorm he was in recently. Have you talked about that at all?
Yeah. I told him that we got to get Spike Lee to tweet out the address of the 6-year-old that made that comment on your show, and then all the focus would go to Spike Lee and we could skate out of this thing. Thank you. Yeah, you know, he's the same. He's the same. He's philosophical and he has the same attitude about it that all of us sort of always have, which is, we don't hate any of these people. It's a joke. And there's a couple things. I'd like to bring this one up to you, Drew. First off, I can't tell you how many times it's happened. I'll give you an example. Okay. Julianne Hough went in blackface for Halloween. It's a big deal. You know, So you just do that thing and you just do it. It gets reported in a bubble, you know, and then you find out she was dressing as a character from Orange is the New Black. And then you find out her whole crew picked a character of the cast and went out. So now it has a context.
Yeah.
But here's the question I have for everybody. Do you think Julianne Hough hates black people? Well, no. But she's certainly, it's insensitive. She needs to be more. And it's like, look, I'm trying to get to a truth here. Does she not like this person? Is she trying to insult this person? Is she trying to make fun of this person? What do we want to hold her accountable for? You know what I mean? There's something called murder, then there's something called manslaughter, there's all degrees in between.
There's omission as a guilt, which is I omitted to be sensitive or aware of the context of how this would be.
I would argue the fact that they did it means that they're free mentally.
Free mentally they are not tuned into how that will be perceived.
But the ones that are ultra tuned in to how it will be perceived and perceived for the culture or for the person. You got to realize most of these people are white.
The white overreact.
They overreact. That's racism.
Yes.
The fact that
I'm not defending the overreaction either.
Anointed yourself the perceiver of this for
true.
This culture.
That's very true.
Who fucking died and left you the king of this culture?
White people have no business having a reaction, frankly. They should be.
Let the person, and I don't even mean the culture. I just mean the person.
Yeah.
I want to know, let them react. I don't know what the actress who played this part in this series, what her reaction was, but I'll be fine with her reaction.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you. Person from Huffington Post, don't explain to me how I'm supposed to feel about this. And by the way, you're just doing it to grab some moral high ground. This is all you do. And so, does Jimmy hate Chinese people? No. So to me, I'm done with the story. I don't need the part where, yeah, but he should have known. No, he's making, he's a comedian, and he's a performer, well, and he's allowed
let me turn it around.
To make commentary.
Let me say, I agree with you that it's possible to laugh at something and be deeply concerned or offended, but you can also laugh. You can also as a separate thing. But be that as it may, here's what bothers me is if Jimmy was, let's say Jimmy is insensitive, the goal should be to raise his sensitivity, make him better, make him more, not destroy him. Why have we gone from, hey, that guy's upsetting me with what he's saying, we gotta change the way he talks, as opposed to fucking kill him.
Right.
That's the part that I have a problem with right now.
Yeah.
Is that we have to I will not stop until this man is destitute.
Right.
Really?
Again, to me, yeah, it's like Paula Deen not making $20 million a year and us not getting a big chunk of revenue from that in the form of taxes is not a great plan for a country. You know what I mean? You want to straighten her out, straighten her out.
Straighten her out, yeah. Just straighten her out. Whatever it takes, straighten her out.
Right.
Destroy.
Well, here's the look. The reason they want to destroy is the straighten out. Let me explain something, Drew.
Wouldn't she be more effective if somebody goes, God, I was such an asshole, an idiot. I didn't realize. Now I've been enlightened, and let me tell you, all you other idiots, what the problem is. Wouldn't that be more effective?
Well, let me explain to you something, Drew, that you need to know.
All right.
There is no problem in the first place. There really isn't. There's no problem with Jimmy Kimmel. So there is nothing to fix. You think they want to fix something. There is nothing to fix. You think they want to correct something. There is nothing to correct. There really isn't. There's a late night comedian who's doing a comedy show where you have to crank out, by the way, tons and tons and tons of material. And a six-year-old boy made a off-the-cuff remark that wouldn't normally come out of the mouth of a six-year-old boy. It wasn't Jimmy. It was a six-year-old boy who did it. Fine. There's nothing to correct. For Jimmy. There just isn't. So, in lieu, Drew, you have things in your, look, we all have people, you know, you have your children.
Mm-hmm.
There's behavior that they display on occasion where you want to correct it. And then there's people who do things where you just go, I just want to crush that person. You're not interested in correction. You're interested in crushing. They say they're interested in correction and then go out to crush.
Yeah.
They say they're interested in education and then go out to crush.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, they say, you know, this person needs to be more sensitive. This person needs to be more educated. This person needs to learn X, Y, and Z. Now we're going to crush them.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what you do with your kid.
No.
If you wanted your kid to learn something or educate your kid or go a different direction, you wouldn't crush them.
That whole.
So, do they want to educate? No, they don't want to educate. And by the way, why educate a person that doesn't need an education? Jimmy's not racist.
Well, let's say he does. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, he does. The whole idea of then having to crush a public figure to me is a weird. That's a primitive.
Yes, it's
sort
primitive.
It's like public beheadings.
You know, it's bad.
It's French Revolution type. Mob mentality.
It's a bad impulse.
It's not a healthy thing for people to be doing.
No, and Drew, can I say this? And you know the thing that's funny about this whole thing, and I've been saying it for some time. Taking the Hitler thing, drawing the mustache, you know, on Jimmy, making the Hitler mustache and everything. Taking the Hitler thing and trotting it out on every occasion should be insanely offensive to those who were severely impacted by one Adolf Hitler.
Yep.
Those who had parents and families and grandparents and things that were just destroyed. You know, my grandfather from Hungary, you know, they took everyone in his fucking, you know, in his on his street and in his town, just fucking marching him off to an oven. That's what Hitler did. That's how he rolled. Jimmy Kimmel had a six-year-old kid make a joke about Chinese people on his show. That's not mistake him for Hitler. And everybody who was impacted by Hitler should be wildly offended at the people that so freely evoked the guy's name. You know?
Well, particularly, it diminishes what he did for Hitler.
Yes.
By equating him with minor infractions, relatively minor infractions.
Minor infractions, not even relatively. Minor infractions. And also the fact that, you know, they do it with slavery, they do it with Hitler, they do it with everything. These were horrible atrocities, and you're going to liken this nothing, you know, whatever Paula Deen did, oh, you're liking her to this is slavery, whatever. You are diminishing the memory
the
and
magnitude.
The history and yeah. the magnitude yeah. of these events by taking modern day celebrities who really look, whether they say things that you disagree with or not, are nowhere in the same hemisphere as any of these people or any of these atrocities, and just doing this sort of one-for-one comparison, it's insane. And anybody who has an ounce of Jewish blood in them should be fucking protesting the protesters who've drawn the Hitler mustache.
Wow.
Powerful, man. You know, it's funny. They're guys. You know why Hitler gets a lot of fucking play? The mustache. You know what I mean? Like, Stalin killed more people than Hitler, but there's nothing. It's the wrong mustache.
It's like is Ronnie the limo driver's mustache.
Yeah. Like, you literally go, who's Jimmy? Is he like the Yosemite Sam? Who is that? And you go, no, it's Stalin, you fucking idiot. And you go, who? Stalin, the mustache. You sure it's not Ronnie the limo driver? I got to see a picture of Stalin in his stash now.
And did Charlie Chaplin have the same mustache?
He had the same one, but no one confuses the two for
Isn't
some
that
reason.
Weird?
Yeah, we think he's a comedian, you know.
But it's the only.
It is the weirdest.
It's the complete pass with the same crazy mustache.
Charlie Chaplin wore a hat, though.
There's Stalin. Here it is.
Here's the thing. It looks like people go, is that Salvador Dali? People wouldn't know what the stash was. It's the unique stash.
Mustache generally makes me uncomfortable with men that wear them.
Can I say this, Drew? Yeah.
They usually have an energy about
them. I've said this before. It's in my book. Here's how bad the Hitler mustache was.
Yeah.
When you basically take over a country, everybody has to rock your facial hair.
Yeah.
So when you're Fidel Castro, every dude who can grow a beard has to have your facial hair.
Yeah.
You are the leader. They must
follow
with the facial hair. I've seen a million pictures of a million
Germans
in World War II and guys marching through the streets of Poland. Nobody had that mustache. Not a one.
I saw one. Didn't you and I find one? Was it you that found it?
Well, I think we found it.
It was in a tank. Remember that?
But I think it would be funny because I think that guy, every single discussion would be like, oh, hey, what's up, brown shirt or brown nose? And the guy would be like, hey, dude, I had this mustache in 1929, all right? I had this mustache in high school, all right, dude? No, you didn't, dude. You just did it because you're furious, God. Hey, dude, I'll show you my high school yearbook. You will see this mustache.
I wonder if he was so revered by them that they were not feeling like they could allowed to imitate. You know what I mean?
I think it was such a shitty piece of facial hair that they just went, fuck it. Until it's been not dusted off for a million years until Michael Jordan decided to rock it.
Recently.
And I said, listen, I'm going to shoot a underpants commercial on an airplane. I'm going to need a Hitler mustache. I mean, there's no way. First off, it's nearly impossible to shoot an underpants commercial without a Hitler mustache, but on an airplane?
Absolutely impossible.
Mathematically, we're talking. It's like mathematically.
There it is.
Impossible. So I gotta rock a Hitler mustache. Otherwise, there's no way we're going to sell these T-shirts.
What is that?
There's just no. I don't know. By the way, I don't. I'm curious. The most curious facet of life for me, Drew, is the tap on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Your wife, you and I think people are comfortable, maybe a little too comfortable, in approaching us and explaining, not your best look. Or,
especially our wife.
I don't know if you should do that. Or what are you doing? What's going on with this? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I have a buddy. His name is Ray. If I try to put on cowboy boots, he will go, what the fuck? Hey, Hoss. What's up with the boots?
It will not stop.
And it won't stop. And then I'll have to take the boots off.
Yeah.
But it's good. So if I ever try to grow a Hitler mustache, Ray's not going to go, hey, boss. Oh, man, makes you look 10 years younger. He's going to go, what the fuck? I don't think Michael Jordan has people in his life that are like.
Or maybe he doesn't listen.
Could
it's possible.
Be, could be some of that. All right. Phone calls, Drew. What do you like up there?
One.
One. All right. Jimmy, 35.
Speaking of Jimmy and Windy City, all in one call.
Oh, Chicago. Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
First, I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Drew for the Dr. Drew Show. It's really been helpful in my recovery to hear somebody talk about addiction and recovery in medical terms.
Okay.
But mostly, I was calling that to talk to you guys. So I'm an atheist, and you know, the concept of a higher power plays into how I'm recovering. What do you guys think about finding some spirituality or faith without that concept?
I think you phrased that question exactly correctly. I think your answer is in that question, which is faith doesn't require a higher power concept, and faith is what's important to as a scientist, as a clinician. The second and third steps are really about faith that you don't have to control everything in your life. Faith that things will turn out right. Faith that the laws of physics will function an hour from now. Faith that whatever, you're not going to drop dead. Faith that it's worth getting recovery. All that does not –
faith that final air is going to beat off my toilet every morning.
I don't need faith for that. I have evidence. I have evidence
before
of that.
He eats my food.
No faith. I'll show it to you tomorrow. But the fact is that in order to get out of your own head, which your head as an alcoholic needs to control everything, you have to have some concept and faith that – the laws of physics are bigger than you. Whatever. Some faith. And I think that's really what it's about. It's not, for some people, they need a God concept. For most people, it's just about faith.
Okay. I have faith.
It's really –
quiet. Well, I have faith that
Stamps.com is going to be a good –
I have faith in them. I do.
I have absolute faith in Stamps.com.
I put my belief in them.
All right. You think about how many hours you waste at the post office. Now you get them all back. You get them all back through Stamps.com. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do in your home, at your computer, with Stamps.com. You can use your computer and printer to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, package, or class of mail, and then just hand it off to the mailman, call for pickup. And we, of course, have our special offer. If you use the code ADS, it's in the upper corner there. You click on the microphone, put an ADS. Use our code ADS for this no-risk trial. It's $110 bonus. You get a free digital scale, which will weigh for you every package you need to send and print up exactly the right postage for that package. And then that postage is going to be free because you get $55 of free postage. Go to stamps.com now. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage. Type in ADS, stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right, let's get through a couple more phone calls.
Five?
Real quick, like five. Hey, Molly, 24, Baltimore. What's going on?
Oh, gone. Three.
All right. Question Molly had, though. She wants to lose weight. She wants to know if she has to give up alcohol to lose weight.
No, she doesn't have to. I mean, it's alcohol is a calorie store. It's converted quickly to sugars in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a few ounces of alcohol is not different than a slice of bread, really.
Right. So the calories are going to have to go down somewhere.
Yeah, and calories are the calories.
Exercise is going to have to go up somewhere.
Yeah. I am a big advocate of the high-protein, low-carb diet for my metabolism. I have metabolic syndrome, and it really, really works for
What's
me.
What's that mean?
Means I have a sort of insulin resistance. I have hypertension. I have hypercholesterolemia. It's sort of
hypertension,
a
what's
high
that?
Blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a metabolic profile of people like me.
Well, listen, I don't know how we miss this, but it turns out that I'm with you. It's just the sort of carbs are the enemy, and I don't know why we didn't know this earlier. And I could remember, especially as a young person, mom making just huge pots of pasta, whole wheat pasta, which just sticks together and just becomes like a sort of clump of gluten, you know? It's just horrible.
Yes.
But whole wheat pasta, it's really you
if
going...
only your mom had known about gluten.
I'm just going to punish myself, you know? A whole wheat pasta is a way to punish yourself. But the point is this. I remember into my 30s going... well, I'd love to have a steak, but I'm watching my weight here, so I'm just going to eat a huge plate of pasta because it's not fat.
Well,
know?
People will forget that late 80s, early 90s, that was the thing.
It's everyone was carb loading.
Need more carbs. Carbs are the healthiest thing. And those protein, that's bad for you. Remember that?
But here's what I'm saying, Drew. Whether it was me running around the San Fernando Valley sweating off my body weight in salt and water and not getting water to replenish it because the coach are yelling, you're going to cramp up. Don't take that water back. You'll cramp it up. First off, no one ever cramped up. I'd go home. I put my head under the sink and I just start slurping and never stop until I put 3 gallons back into me.
Yeah.
There was never a cramp.
Yeah.
There's never a cramp about going in the pool after you ate a sandwich or anything. We're going to wait
total
20
bullshit.
Minutes. These are not medieval times. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Where's all the crazy pseudoscience coming in? Remember me, Drew?
Yes.
Remember 15 years ago when everyone's like, how much do you weigh? Well, I weigh 200 pounds. All right. 200 ounces. All right. Half of that, and that's 100 ounces of water you must drink every day. You know, and I was going, how is it we need to drink so much water?
Yeah.
And by the way, is anyone getting thinner drinking 9 glasses of water every day? What is this all? No. Every dietitian, every human being is like, you drinking water? You drinking enough water? You're not drinking enough water. You need to take in more water. They're still doing it. I know it's bullshit. What are we? We don't know enough in this world where we've dissected a billion cadavers and opened a million
bodies.
Thankfully,
we're now in the modern time when we know the problem is gluten and toxins. That solves everything. It's all done. Over. Cancer cured.
Right. I'm saying the carb loading with the pasta to lose weight, now all the fucking water. Water was bad for you when I was playing football. Now you have to drink it.
Gluten
will
be good
for
you someday in the near future.
Okay.
Right? Won't it?
I have no fucking...
That's the way these things go.
Here's my whole point. Everyone, fuck off. Jesus Christ, with your fucking horrible opinions about everything. And just uninformed. Just willing to spout off about anything at all times.
Most people in this country have never studied biology. They may have had a biology class in high school. That's not biology. Biology is a giant probability equation.
Mm-hmm.
Giant.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about thermodynamics and probability.
Right.
How proteins move around and come together and do the things they do.
In the toilet.
Like Chris's shit in the toilet. It wasn't a shit. It was
my protein.
Protein. Male protein.
That's right.
Male protein.
All right. Real quick, Harsh over here, 21, Oxford.
Oxford what?
Yep, hello.
Oxford, England?
Yep.
All right.
Wow.
Well, what time is it over there, man?
It's 9 o'clock at night.
It's 8.
8 o'clock at night.
8.
All right.
Where? Yep.
You're going to run a half marathon.
Yep, in Silverstone.
You want to, I don't know where that is, but I know it's what you call people.
You know,
that are
Silverstone,
uneducated.
Like the race thing.
Are you?
Oh, Silverstone. You said Silverstone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Silverstone.
Are you in college at Oxford?
Yep. I'm going to be.
What's...
Yep.
Are you playing foosball?
No foosball. Just a little fiddying.
All right. Hold on a second. You want to run this marathon, you want to wear a Mangria t-shirt.
Yeah, in return. Like, I'll promote your Mangria or, like, your shirt in the UK because we have quite a few fans over here that, you know, listen to you.
We shall...
And I would like the Mangria.
I'll tell you what. We'll put you on hold.
Does Mangria get over there?
No.
I'm going... Listen to this. I'm going in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Christmas with Simone. What if I brought some Mangria with me over there? Is that kosher?
I think you could...
Wouldn't that be interesting?
You can bring it with you.
That'd be really
interesting. But the point is we'll put you on hold. We'll get your address, and we'll send you out a T-shirt.
We'll have Mangria signing in Piccadilly Circus.
You take a picture of you running in said marathon with Mangria shirt, and you give it to us, and that'll be our trade-off. All right. You want to click through the Amazon link at adamanddrdrewshow.com and show us a little love. You're doing a little shopping over at Amazon. Doesn't cost you a thing. Subscribe. Hit that PayPal button. Say $5. $5 a month. Good juju, man. And again, it boils down to pennies. A show and me and Dr. Drew, our reunion tour, doing 3 shows. And it's all up on iTunes at adamcarolla.com. So check that out. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata. Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.